السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله، الحمد لله وكفى، وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. كنتم خير أمة أخرجت للناس تأمرون بالمعروف وتنهون عن المنكر وتؤمنون بالله. وقد قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: أنتم تتمون 70 أمة، أنتم خيرها وأكرمها على الله تعالى. رواه الترمذي. وكما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام: ولا يصلي وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم. رسول رسالة درود شريف. اللهم صلي وسلم على سيدنا ونبينا وحبيبنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. مولاي صلي وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم، والحبيب الذي ترجى شفاعته لكل هول من الأهوال مقتحمين. يا ربي بالمصطفى بلغ مقاصدنا واغفر لنا ما مضى يا واسع الكرم. My most respected ulama, our scholars, hufaz-e-ikram, shuyukh, our dear elders, brothers in Islam, alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's great favor, his ni'mah, his bounty upon us, that Allah has blessed us with iman, and by virtue of iman, we enjoy the bounties of iman. And one of the great bounties of iman is the day of Jumu'ah. The other faiths have other days of a religious significance. They have the Saturday and they have the Sunday and other forms of celebrations and days. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in His grace has given us the Mubarak day of Jumu'ah. And the blessings of this day are such that are not limited to this dunya and this world. This is the significance of Islam and the true faith, that the benefit of what we enjoy in this dunya will also be to some extent symbolic in the akhirat. So it is mentioned in the Quran al-Kareem, when the people of Jannah will eat some of the fruit of Jannah, they will say that we ate something like this in the world also. But this what we are seeing is something that is far, far superior. It is far, far more beautiful in its texture and in its sweetness and in its taste and in everything that it possesses. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has kept dunya as mazra'atul akhirah. Mazra'atul akhirah means in this dunya, in this world, we plan and we prepare for al-akhirah. If a person wants to know what is the essence of the life of this world, then the essence of the life of this world is the preparation and the anticipation of al-akhirah. That is the real world. That is why in the Quran Kareem, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He describes this world, He doesn't describe this world with any form of real material virtue. It is known as mata', mata'ul dunya. It is known as mata'ul ghurur. It is known as darul ghurur. You know, and when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about al-akhirah, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about it as the real life, darul hayawan. It is known as darul qarar. It is known as the real life, the place to live. The real place to live is not ad-dunya. Ad-dunya is a transit phase. It is a transit mode that we are in. But of course, we do know that in the dunya also, we have to live our lives purposefully. A person has got responsibilities in this life. He has to earn his livelihood. A person can't say that, no, I'm living for the akhirah, therefore I don't have to do anything in this dunya. I don't have to find a job. I don't have to work. I don't have to look after my family. I don't have to do all of these things. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has kept this world as Darul Asbab. Darul Asbab means a place of means. If Allah ta'ala wanted, He said, look, all Muslims, you all just work for the akhirat. I'll send everything for you. Allah would have sent the money from the sky or pluck it off the trees, like how they say money doesn't grow on trees. That is a reality. Right? If everyone had money on the trees, then everyone would be growing trees in their backyard. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made it such that Darul Asbab. You have to work, you have to plan, you have to organize yourself, you have to lead a real life in terms of the realities of this world. But the purpose and the objective and the vision is al-akhirah. This is what we must always keep in mind. And the test is that. That is what the test really is. That's why in Surah Mulk, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا. Allah has created maut and life. خَلَقَ الْمَوْتِ وَالْحَيَاةِ لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ. So Allah ta'ala can see whether someone is going to get over engrossed and absorbed and enamored by the life of this world, or he's going to be able to understand and make the distinction that in this dunya, I must use it to the extent of need. I use it to the extent of need. I will enjoy the good things of the dunya, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hasn't made haram also. قُلْ مَنْ حَرَّمَ زِينَةَ اللَّهِ. Allah says in the Quran, Allah says nobody has made the beauty of this world haram. Allah says it's halal. What is halal is halal, and no one can make it haram. It is permissible. It is permissible to have a good comfortable life. It is permissible to have a good quality life. But that quality life and the comforts of that good life must not overwhelm a person and consume a person to the point that the person forgets the real life on akhirah. So this is what the philosophy of the Quran al-Kareem is, and if we look at all the ayat of the Quran Sharif and the verses of the Quran Sharif, this is what we find by and large the theme of the Quran Sharif is how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to prepare for al-akhirah and at the same time be able to navigate our lives in this dunya. So in the hadith Sharif that I have recited, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala firstly makes mention in the Quran al-Kareem, and then Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gives a commentary of it in the hadith, wherein Allah says, "Kuntum khayra ummatin." You are the best of ummats, the best of nations. Now we know from history that many ummats and many nations had come in the past, right? From Adam alayhi salam's time, right up to the time of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, many thousands of years had passed, and many nations had come, and all of these stories and events are mentioned in the Quran al-Kareem. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned them for a reason and a purpose. And Allah makes mention of that in the Quran Sharif also. لَقَدَ كَانَ فِي قَصَصِهِمْ عِبْرَةٌ لِأُولِي الْأَلْبَابِ مَا كَانَ حَدِيثًا يُفْتَرَى وَلَكِنْ تَصْدِيقَ الَّذِي بَيْنَ يَدِيهِ وَتَفْصِيلَ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that these stories, the events of the Anbiya, the nations of the past, all of this that we read in the Quran al-Kareem, Surah Al-Kahf, the Bani Israel, the Israelites, and we read about the nations of Ad and Thamud and Lut, all of these events are not storytelling, but they have an underlying purpose behind them. They have an underlying lesson behind them. So Allah says, لَقَدْ كَانَ فِي قَصَصِهِمْ Ibra. What you must take from the stories, when you read the Quran al-Kareem, and when we listen to the stories and the events that take place in the Quran, then the first thing that we take from them is lesson. Ibra is a very great thing. That what did these people do that gave them this outcome? Why did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ultimately make their outcome like it was? So we take that ibrat and we learn the lesson and we save ourselves from that outcome and from that difficulty that they had put themselves in. And we're not going to go into the details of that. So Allah ta'ala makes mention about kuntum khayra ummatin ukhrijat linnas. Now Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in this hadith sharif expands upon this ayah and explains what this ayah means. That if you, O ummat of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, are the best of ummah, Allah is privileged you to become khayr ummah, what does it mean? It means that antum tutimmuna sab'ina ummatan, that you are a culmination of 70 nations. Now in the Arabic language, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, wants to give expression to something very expansive, or wants to give expression to kathrat, meaning something in a large number, then the number 70 is used. So you will find in some of the ahadith, the number 70 is used to show kathrat and to show quantity, to show something that in large number. So you have come at the end and the culmination of many, many nations. Antum tutimuna sab'ina ummatan. And antum khayruha. And from all the nations that have come, from all the people that have come in the past, you are the best of ummats. You are the best of ummats. Now, every person, every nation, every people want to be the best. They want to be regarded to be good. They want to be regarded to be the people who have the best privileges. And we are being
we are being termed and we are being informed that we are that ummah that is the best of ummah. Wa akramuha. Akramuha means the most honorable, meaning that ummah and that nation from all the nations who Allah has given the most honor to. Now, of course, to have honor and to have goodness and khair means that we possess some form of privilege, some form of goodness that this ummah has, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has termed us to be the best of ummah. And when we look at the ahadith sharif, then we learn that this ummah is the last of the ummahs, and it will come last from all the ummahs, but it will enter into Jannah first. The other remarkable feature of this ummah is that it came last and it will have the most amount of sufuf on the day of Qiyamah. So on the day of Qiyamah, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will arrange the people, it is mentioned in the Quran al-Kareem, يَوْمَ تُبَدَّلُ الْأَرْضُ غَيْرَ الْأَرْضُ. On the day of Qiyamah, the planet, the earth will not be round how it is now. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will unfold the earth. It will take a completely different form. And the Maidan-e-Hashar, the plains of resurrection, will be erected. And the entire humanity will be made to stand on the plains of Hashar. And the ummah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that is us and everyone who has come before us in this ummah and that will come after us in this ummah, will form 80 of the 120 rows that will be present on the day of Qiyamah in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So in other words, we are 2/3 of the entire humanity. And of course, when you are a big group, right, when you have more numbers, then that is a privilege, that is an advantage. If you have a bigger army, that is an advantage for you. If you have a big family, that is an advantage for you. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has privileged us and given us an advantage and a head start over the other ummahs, that we will be 2/3 of the entire humanity and the rest of humanity will be the remainder 40 safs. Furthermore, together with the privilege obviously comes the responsibility. And as we know, with every right there is a responsibility. When a person gets married, when a person enters into a business partnership, when a person is a neighbor, when a person has any form of privilege, then that person also has an equal standing responsibility that the person has to fulfill. And that is what Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has made mention here. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes mention of it in the Quran al-Kareem, that what is the outstanding responsibility of this ummah? تَأْمُرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَتَنْهَوْنَ عَنِ المنكري وتؤمنون بالله. Threefold. تأمرون بالمعروف. That this ummah has to become the vanguard of good. We have to be stand. We have to set the standard of morality in this world. تأمرون بالمعروف. Every good value, every good moral, every good quality, every form of goodness has to be demonstrated by this ummah. This ummah will have to show the entire world, right? What is justice? What is morality? What is generosity? What is kindness? All of these qualities and these attributes are the responsibility of this ummah. And when we look into history, we find that this is what this ummah done, right? This ummah had actually played this leadership role. It had played this influential role in the world, to such an extent that the historians write that the Muslims in the past were in a position of such influence that the people of the land who were under Muslim rule wanted to emulate the Muslims in everything that the Muslims did. Today, because we do not stand in a position of influence, unfortunately we become influenced. Right? Our young people generally, our youth, want to follow the ways and the trends of the people of the world who they believe are the trendsetters. But unfortunately, that is not really the trend. That is not the lifestyle that we should follow. That is not the way of success and salvation. That is not the way where we will attain the goodness of this world and the akhirah. We must remember that Deenul Islam is a way of life. And every aspect of the deen of Islam, political, the economic system of Islam, the political system of Islam, the social system of Islam, and even personal character, conduct and manners, all of it is divine. It is divinely grounded. The source of it emanates from Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And therefore, that standard is the standard that the entire humanity will benefit from. Today, we are speaking about Islamic economics in the world. And the world has realized that the other isms, the other models of economy cannot be sustained, whether it is socialism, whether it is capitalism, whether it is whichever other ism it may be, but they have realized that it is not a fair and just system, and it is not a system that is able to be sustained to alleviate poverty. In fact, it is actually driving poverty. It is driving, and when you drive poverty, you drive unrest, you drive political instability. All of these things then begin to happen. And that is why we find the world is where it is today. And therefore, many thinkers and many people of the world are saying that the model that we need to follow as far as our economic systems are concerned, Islamic governance is concerned, is the Islamic economic system. And therefore, it is the responsibility of this ummah, the scholars of this ummah, the professionals of this ummah, the entrepreneurs of this ummah, the business people of this ummah, for us to realize that our businesses and our economic system and the way that we run our finances should be as close as possible to the Islamic economic system. There is a lot that we can discuss about this, but time is short. But I will just mention one particular incident. A great scholar of Islam, of our present day, he is alive, and he is a great scholar of the subcontinent, Maulana Sajjad Nomani, Hafizahullah Ta'ala. He says he was invited to the United Nations summit in New York, and he was given an opportunity to present a poverty alleviation model for Africa. So they gave him 11 minutes to speak. And Maulana says there were many other speakers, many other experts on economics, etc., etc. And he is obviously a Maulana. But nonetheless, because of his stature, because of his experience, because of his influence in the Islamic world, he was called upon by the United Nations to present a paper. And he said he presented his paper, and in his paper he discussed the entire system of zakat of Islam without using the word, the name Islam, without saying Islam once, and without using the word zakat. He presented the entire model of how zakat is the most effective system to alleviate poverty in the world if it is implemented correctly. And when he finished his discourse, without mentioning anything about Islam or zakat, the chairperson at that time, from what I understand, it was Kofi Annan, he said that I want to move to the house that we give Mr. Nomani another 11 minutes. Because what he has presented in his speech is actually what Africa needs, and not what only Africa needs, but it is what the entire world needs. To revise the system, the economic system of the world, to restart it. And Maulana says, now the whole house agreed unanimously to give me another 11 minutes. And that only speaker, every speaker, 11 minutes, they cut them off. He said they gave me another 11 minutes. And now I took the opportunity to say that the system that I'm speaking about is none other than the system of Islam. It is the economic system of Islam. It is the poverty alleviation system of zakah that is promulgated in the Quran al-Kareem. إِنَّمَا الصَّدَقَاتُ لِلْفُقَرَاءِ وَالْمَسَاكِينَ وَالْعَامِلِينَ عَلَيْهَا. The categories of zakat, the way that zakat is distributed, the way that zakat is managed, the Baytul Mal system of Islam, etc. And he said from there, thereafter, the interest in this entire paper had grew to such an extent that even after the presentations, when they were having meals, they then made accommodation for Maulana to come and sit on the main table and discuss it with the other players there. So that was, it was a lengthy incident. But anyway, what I'm trying to demonstrate and show is that every system of Islam that has been promulgated, that has been brought, is for the benefit of humanity. And Allah Ta'ala is telling us in the Quran Al-Kareem, كُنْتُمْ خَيْرَ أُمَّةٍ أُخْرِجَتْ لِلنَّاسِ. That you, me and you, every ummah, the errors of the past, and the present error and the error of the future are there for the benefit of humanity. And it is upon us. Yes, there are many negatives. We understand that the Muslim ummah is, under siege. We are in a very difficult time. We are undergoing great strife. But there is great hope and there is great potential. And this is one of the themes of the Quran Al-Kareem that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala drives. And our young people must understand this, our young professionals, our young people, that the flag is going to come, the baton is going to come into their hand. That the ummah has done whatever it could. The leaders of the ummah up to this time, the ulama ikram, the scholars, they have developed the systems up to a point that they could develop. Be it the Islamic banking system,
be it the political system, be it our social standards, be it our business systems, whatever we have tried, the Ummah has done what it has done up till now. And now the world is looking at Islam for the future, for solutions, for answers, for driving the new system. And our youth must become extremely serious about their role. We must not say that, you know what, we cannot influence the systems of the world. We can very much influence the systems of the world. We can see what the present leadership of the world is giving to humanity. What is the present leadership of the world giving to humanity? Absolutely nothing. If anything, they are, you know, a group of real empty skulls, if you want to put it that way. Absolutely nothing. They are driving the world towards destruction. The present leadership of the world is actually driving the world towards destruction. Mawla Abul Hasan Ali al-Nadwi rahmatullahi alayhi, great thinker of Islam. And if a person wants to know about Islam in our era, our young people, read the writings of Mawla Abul Hasan Ali al-Nadwi. He's written commentaries, he's written books, Islam and the World. He's written a book which he had won the King Faisal Award. A million Saudi riyals at that time. We're talking about the early 1980s. And King Faisal had given Maulana the keys of the Kaaba in his hand. He said, I've never read a book of this nature as far as the current Muslim world is concerned and the solutions for the Arab nations that they were suffering at that time. He gave the keys of the Kaaba in his hand and said, you can enter the Kaaba whenever you want. He was so enamored and so impressed by the writings of Maulana. So if we want to take the Ummah forward, my dear friends, then there are two things, there are many things that we can discuss, but there are two key things that we need to do. All of us need to do. Number one is we need to rectify and we need to reform. The Ummah will only move forward when each person is able to rectify and reform himself and fulfill his responsibility fully. And therefore, each person must take responsibility of his own reformation and rectification as far as he is concerned. Right? Rectification of our iman, rectification of our actions, rectification of our salah, the correctness of everything that we do, that responsibility lies with us. Imam Yahya bin Mu'az al-Razi, rahmatullah alayhi, a great scholar of Islam, he said, "Man arafa nafsahu, faqad arafa rabbahu." The person who recognizes his own self, his nafs, his own weaknesses, his own deficiencies, and that drives him towards his reclamation and rectification, that person will recognize Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the second thing as an ummah that we need to do, very important one, and that is we need to organize ourselves. Unfortunately, there is a lot of good, and I'm saying unfortunately, but fortunately, good also. There's a lot of good that the ummah is doing. There's a lot of charity, there's a lot of good work, there's a lot of, alhamdulillah, masjids, infrastructure, you know, good businesses, people are running good projects and everything, alhamdulillah, which is a good thing and is a great thing. But if we want to influence, and we want to pioneer, and we want to move forward economically, politically, and in every other respect, then we will need to organize ourselves. I don't want to take the example of the Jews and the Zionists. Why are they influencing the whole world today? They are absolutely offside, completely. They are offside in every respect. But they still try their best to control the narrative. They control the minds of people. They're controlling the narratives. Why? Because they've got journalism. They've got media on their side. They use their power. They use APAC. They use whatever they have to use. And they influence the people of the world, the minds of the world. But alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in his wisdom, Allah has turned the narrative on its head. We've seen what has happened after the Gaza situation. But that situation needs to be now exploited. We need to take it further. And we need to be serious about our role and our responsibility. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it such, my dear friends, that this ayat that we have recited, kuntum khayra ummatin ukhrijat linnas, that we appreciate that Allah has given us these privileges, this honor. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to fulfill our responsibility to the best of our ability in terms of everything that Allah has given us and Allah, the potential that Allah Ta'ala has given us. We will conclude on that. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala take this ummah forward. May Allah Ta'ala bless this, the youth of this ummah with the understanding, with the realization, and with the fikr that this ummah will thrive on their strength and on their efforts, inshaAllah. Wa sallallahu wa sallam ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in.